Have you heard about Esther Abrams, the Jewish convict and first lady? The life of Esther Abrams may read like fiction, but these events did in fact take place and are part of the historical records. Today, Esther's story helps to shed new light on the life in early colonial Australia. Esther's story is a classic tale of rags to riches and back again. Esther rose from the lowly status of a convict girl to the First Lady of New South Wales, successfully managing properties in early Sydney until a family dispute left her with nothing. Esther Abrams was about 15 years old and may have been pregnant when she was put on trial at the Old Bailey in London on the 30th of August 1786 for stealing lace from a London draper's shop with a value of 50 shillings. She was found guilty of theft, although the evidence was only circumstantial. At the time of the trial, she was about 18, and her occupation was listed as milliner. And she was imprisoned at the Newgate Gaol in London, where she bore an illegitimate child named Rosanna, father unknown, and that was on the 18th of March, 1787. At her trial at the Central Criminal Court at the Old Bailey, Esther was sentenced to 7 years transportation. And Abrams and her daughter were transported to Australia with the First Fleet, departing London in May 1787 on the convict transport Prince of Wales, but transferring to Lady Penryn mid-voyage. Esther reached Sydney with the First Fleet in January 1788, with baby Rosanna in her arms. On board of Lady Penryn, she had commenced a relationship with Lieutenant George Johnston of the Royal Marines. And the relationship prospered, and the couple had 7 children together by 1806. Esther adopted the surname Julian around 1800, and the reason for this are unclear. We don't know the reasons, but maybe the surname of the man that who had fathered her daughter Rosanna. We don't know. George Johnston finally married Esther in 1814, possibly under the influence of Governor Lachlan Macquarie, who was keen to see long-term relationships become legitimate marriage under the Church of England rites. And by this time, George had become a legendary figure in New South Wales, and that's because of his rank, and Johnston received huge grants. And he had spent time as an officer in Norfolk Island, commanded a company in New South Wales Corps, and had helped put down a rebellion of Irish convicts at Castle Hill in 1804. And he was a key figure in the overthrow of Governor Bligh in 1808. And Major George Johnston then became Lieutenant Governor, meaning that Esther assumed the unofficial role of the First Lady of New South Wales and performed vice-regal duties with her husband. And Johnston was tried in London for his role in Bligh's overthrow and was absent from the colony for 4 years. And over time, Esther Abrams and George Johnston did become quite wealthy, and they owned over 5,000 acres of land, and Esther successfully managed Johnston's large estates. And the two estates were, one was Annandale, and it was named after Johnston's birthplace in Scotland, and this is the suburb of Annandale in Sydney today, and George's Hall near Bankstown. And she oversaw the convict servants, managed the finance of both properties, and sold meat and grain to the government stores. And one of the fascinating stories which swirls around Esther's life in New South Wales is that she ran a private kosher kitchen from the farm in Annandale, though no material evidence remains about this part of her life. So we don't know to what extent she actually stayed Jewish. And following George Johnston's death in 1823, the Annandale estate was bequeathed to Esther on the understanding that it would be transferred to their son Robert on Esther's death. And George's Hall, meanwhile, was bequeathed to the third son, David. Second son passed away. And so David got George's Hall. And shortly thereafter, disputes arose over the inheritance of the properties. Robert Johnston was most unhappy with the situation and claimed in 1829 that Annandale was in decline under his mother's management. At a very public trial, it was claimed that Esther's mental health had declined and she had become an alcoholic since George's death. And Esther was officially declared not of sound mind, not capable of managing her affairs, and the property went to her son Robert. And she spent the final years of her life in the home of her third son David, who had built a substantial property at the homestead at George's Hall in southern Sydney. And that building, you go to George's Hall, you can see where Esther Abrams lived. And she lived for the rest of her life in George's Hall, dying there on the 26th of August, 1846. And she was buried on the Annandale estate in accordance with her late husband's wishes. And her remains are now in the Johnston family vault at the Waverley Cemetery in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. And the extent to which Esther's Jewish faith had any impact on her life in Australia is really unknown. However, it's quite interesting if you look at history. Esther's grandson, George Robert Nichols, and that's the son of Rosanna, was a lawyer and a politician who argued that the colony's Jews and Christians should have equal amounts of government assistance for public worship. And thanks to his efforts, or thanks to Esther's grandson, the minister of the Sydney Hebrew congregation was paid a salary, and that's from 1853, of £200 from the government coffers.